Welcome back to Through the Word, everyone. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 today. And this chapter is all about passing good character from one generation to the next in God's family. When I was young, I visited my dad, who taught me a lesson I'll never forget. My grandmother was getting out of the car in her driveway. As I stood and watched her struggling to get out with her cane, my dad rushed to get her door and finished opening it for her while I watched. Afterwards, he knelt down, put his hand on my shoulder and said, "Son, I never again want to see you stand by while someone like your grandmother is getting out of a car or coming through a door. You're to be a gentleman. The Joneses come from a long line of gentlemen, son, and as you go through life, I want you to remember, despite what others are doing, because you're a Jones, you will act like a gentleman, even when others do not." That has stuck with me for my entire life. I've never forgotten that incident in the driveway, and today I find myself making similar speeches with my daughters. You're a Jones, and Joneses do not make those obscene noises at the dinner table. Thus, what was taught to me is being passed down, so the family traits, the family likeness, is also being passed down. There's an old saying, you teach what you believe, but you can only reproduce what you are. Back in chapter 2, the letter centers in on the character of Paul and his team when they first visited Thessalonica. Paul reminds the Thessalonians of his mannerisms, ministry, and motives. He wants them to remember how he was when they first met so they can imitate him and carry on the family likeness. Paul is reminding them of their Jonesness. In verse 1 through 12, Paul reminds them of his own witness when they were together. Then, in verses 13 through 16, he'll switch the focus back to them and how proud he is of them for suffering for the gospel, just like he did. Finally, in verses 17 through 20, Paul explains why he was hindered from coming to see them for so long. Now, that's enough of an overview, so let's jump into verses 1 and 2, where Paul says, "You know, brothers and sisters," there's that family term again, "that our visit to you was not without results. We had previously suffered and been treated outrageously in Philippi, as you know, but with the help of our God, we dared to tell you his gospel in the face of strong opposition." Paul wanted to remind the Thessalonians that when he and Silas and Timothy got to Thessalonica, their wounds hadn't yet healed from the flogging or the whipping they had gotten Philippi for preaching the gospel. Some people are more apt to stay quiet after taking a beating, but the Apostle Paul was not that kind of person. Even though the scabs were breaking open again and sticking to their shirts, Paul was still bold, knowing that it would cost him and that those wounds were probably going to break open soon again. But what drove someone like Paul to continue to do the very thing that had gotten him beat so badly? Love. Love was Paul's motive, and verse 3 centers in on the motives of Paul and his team. Let's read it. "For the appeal we make does not spring from error or impure motives, nor are we trying to trick you. On the contrary, we speak as those approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel. We are not trying to please people, but God, who tests our hearts. You know we never use flattery, nor did we put on a mask to cover up greed. God is our witness. We were not looking for praise from people, not you or anyone else. Even though as apostles of Christ, we could have asserted our authority, but instead, we were like young children among you." Not only will Paul speak of being parents to them, caring for them, but also being like children in the beginning, demanding nothing, claiming no more authority than a child would. You see, families are held together by love, and Paul considered the Thessalonians part of God's family. Paul pointed out he didn't have impure motives, like being after their money. And later, in verses 9 through 12, he reminds him that Paul and his team worked with their hands night and day so they could give the gospel free of charge to the Thessalonians. What a contrast with the false teachers that had moved to Thessalonica since Paul had left. What do we know about these false teachers? Well, Paul says, "We didn't want your money." That implies the false teachers did. And when he said, "We didn't push our authority as apostles on you," it implies the false teachers did that too. You could say that the false teachers wanted girls, gold, and glory, the three G's. They were eager to pick the pockets of the church by teaching new and false doctrines. Whereas Paul wanted the best for them, the false teachers wanted to get the best from them. There's a big difference between people that love you and love what you can do for them. So you could sum up Paul's motives for coming to them and being willing to suffer for them by saying that Paul genuinely loved the Thessalonians. Like the old saying goes, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. In verse 7, Paul says, just as a nursing mother cares for her children, so we cared for you. Stop and think about that. How much does a nursing mom love and protect her kids? Paul cared so deeply, they were his world, and he had been attentive to their every spiritual need, putting their needs above his own. And then he continues in verse 8, because we loved you so much, we didn't just share the gospel, but our very lives. We shared ourselves with you. That's touching. He loved them like a child and not demanding anything from them. He loved them like a mother and caring for and nurturing young faith. And finally, in verse 11, he exhorted them as a father would to be the best version of themselves they could be. Verse 11 says, for you know that we dealt with each of you as a father deals with his own children, encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live lives worthy of God, who calls you into his kingdom and glory. After all, good fathers function like coaches, pulling the best out of us. That was Paul to the Thessalonians. He was comforting them when they got it wrong, instructing them how to get it right, and then encouraging them to live lives worthy of the Jones name. But this isn't about the Jones name. It's about, Paul says, living lives worthy of God's name, who calls you into his kingdom and glory. That last part was Paul's way of saying, you're part of the family now. What you do, how you live, it matters. Well, the next part of the chapter shifts to the Thessalonians themselves and focuses particularly how they kept up with the Joneses. In other words, after talking about how Paul and his team lived, he now moves to talk about how the Thessalonians themselves were acting the same. The family likeness was showing in them too. Paul the dad could not have been prouder. Paul outlines some of the behaviors that demonstrate the family likeness. In verse 13, Paul describes their acceptance of the Word of God. You accepted it not as the Word of men, but what it really is, the Word of God, which is at work in you believers. Then in verse 14, the next verse, Paul points out they also suffered for the gospel. Listen to the description of the family likeness. For you, brothers, became imitators of the church of God in Christ Jesus that are in Judea. For you suffered the same things for your countrymen as they did from the Jews. Not only did they resemble Paul and his team, but the Thessalonians also resembled their Jewish brothers and sisters who had suffered in Judea at the hands of some of the same people. Paul has a little bit to say about that, but let's skip ahead to verse 17. There Paul uses his final family term, we were orphaned by being separated from you. Those are strong terms because Paul had a strong love. He felt orphaned. You know, God has a strong love for you. And maybe God has shown his love to you through the strong love of a fellow human being. Somebody who loves you so much, but you know they don't want anything from you. They don't want your money. You can't repay them. They just love you. That was the love that Paul gave them. Like a parent, Paul ends by telling them they are his hope, joy, and crown. That's total mom talk, by the way. I see Jesus in love like that. I see Christ going through all the hardship, pain, and humiliation of the cross, making every sacrifice that a parent makes and more, all because he loves us. Paul modeled that love to the Thessalonians, and they modeled that family likeness right back. My prayer for us is that we will go and model the same love to others and show them the family likeness, what God really looks like, and what it means to be a Christian. Read 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 today and find out for yourself.
Join us next time as we continue the journey one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.